Endless blessings he momently crowns, engilded with his fullness divine. I'll sing in my rapture, all glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows are dried thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good old Fanny Crosby. Boy, she wrote some blessed hymns over the years. Yes, indeed. Glory to God. Beloved, let's grab our Bibles this morning, and we'll get right to our sermon. Announcements. We don't have many announcements. We will be celebrating the Lord's table the first Sunday of April. That's about a month away. And other than that, there will be no service this Wednesday evening, but we'll be back on track this coming Sunday. Praise the Lord. Let's open up to the book of Galatians this morning, beloved. Galatians chapter 6. And I have been wanting to preach this message for a while now. And the Lord said, this is the time. I want to call your attention in Galatians in chapter number 6. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. We'll read three verses, then we'll pray and preach. Now, prior to our reading here in Galatians 6, Paul has spent six chapters attempting to show the new believers at Galatia that they no longer needed the law of Moses and the sacrificial code, and that then Jesus Christ, they're complete. Amen? Lacking nothing. I love it. So I want to preach a message to you this morning that I've entitled Glorying in the Cross. Glorying in the Cross. Look at me in Galatians chapter 6 at verse number 12. Verse number 12, Paul writes, as many as desire to make a fair shew in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I want to call your attention to verse 14. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach to you on glorying in the cross. Heavenly Father, how we thank you this morning for these tremendous verses. And Lord, how I thank you this morning that we have something that we can glory in. We have something that we can absolutely rejoice over. That Lord, we can hold up above all other things in this world, and that is the precious cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, I'm so glad that Lord, I'm so glad that Paul left on record his glorying in the cross, that we too today, 2,000 years later, can like the blessed apostle glory in your cross. And Lord, herein lies the key to the victorious Christian life. When a believer comes to the realization that at the cross, all my sins were washed away. And at the cross, I receive redemption, salvation, even the new birth in the Holy Spirit of God. It all happens because of the cross of Christ. We can glory in that. Lord, I pray you'd help me to preach this message now. May your Holy Spirit minister grace to our hearts. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 Please be seated, beloved. Paul is stressing the doctrine of identification in these closing words of the book of Galatians. And he's exposing the fact that these Judaizers, who typify all false religion, were glorying in something other than the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross. Paul warns the Galatians that these false teachers only made a fair show in the flesh. They made an outward appearance of religion, but they didn't have the real deal within. Listen now, that means there was nothing genuine within them. They had not the Spirit of God. Now, Paul is about to show these new converts in Galatia to Christianity, where they would find victory over the world. Victory over the devil, victory over the flesh, and victory over sin. He points them to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, there is the place of total victory, the cross. Amen? He reveals three things concerning the cross in this text. First, that he considers the cross of the Son of God as an object of glorying. The Jews considered the cross as a stumbling block. The Gentiles, the Greeks, considered the cross foolishness. But Paul says, to us which are saved, the cross is the power of God. Amen? We glory in that. There are those in this world this morning who despise the cross. They hate the cross because they know the cross calls for them to repent. So they hate the cross. But those who accept that great salvation and receive the blessings of the cross glory in the cross. Paul did. Secondly, he considered the cross his only object of glorying. Now, Paul was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, amen, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was full of zeal and reputation as an apostle, but in none of these things would he glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, Paul utters the most emphatic protest possible against glorying in anything but the cross. He says, but God forbid. Look at that. Look at that in Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. He says, but God forbid. Let it never be so that I should glory in anything else but the cross of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. Paul did not mind suffering for the cross. Amen? He never shirked away from the reproach that the cross brought upon him as a man of God. He was proud to boldly proclaim that that is the way to salvation for any lost sinner. The cross is where it's at. Amen? Far be it from me that I should let anything else steal away my heart's affection but the cross of Christ. I want to call your attention this morning, beloved, to three crucifixions in our text. In Paul's glorying in the cross, he reveals three incredible crucifixions. First, he shows us, listen now, Christ crucified. Amen? Second, he will show us the world crucified. And third, he will show us the believer crucified. But first this morning, I want you to notice Christ crucified. Look with me at verse 14. Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to know that our Savior died on that old rugged cross. That's why we sing about it, because it was Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, who was crucified and nailed to that cross. Now, nowhere else in all of eternity Can we find such a pillar of light, flaming with such unutterable glory as that of the cross of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus? And this divine glory shall shine throughout the eons of eternity, beloved, unceasingly. Oh yes, for all of eternity, you and I will look back to that cross and thank the Lord that He did it. Amen? Glory to God. Six things Paul found in Christ crucified, our first crucifixion. Christ crucified. First, in the cross of Christ, Paul viewed the glory of the divine character in the Savior. Look with me in 1 Timothy and hold your place in Galatians. We'll be coming back. That's our home base this morning. But in 1 Timothy, here's an incredible verse. You know, I'm always telling you to watch those 3:16s in the Bible. Oh, it's loaded with them. 1 Timothy 3:16. We read, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." He says, the first thing I want you to know is that God was crucified on that cross. Yes, indeed. When Jesus Christ became a human being in that manger born to the Blessed Virgin Mary, He became a man. Amen? And He went and died on an old rugged cross for you and I. In the cross of Christ, Paul first viewed the glory of His divine character. He says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Amen? But secondly, Paul found in the cross of Christ, he viewed the glory of the Savior's love. Look with me back in the Gospel of John. Go to John chapter 10. Paul gloried in the love of the Savior found at the cross. In John chapter 10, look with me. In John chapter 10, at verse number 11, we find Him as the great shepherd of the sheep. Amen. And in verse number 11, John writes, words in red, the Lord Jesus spoke these words, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." That's you and I. Look what he says here in verse 14. "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Notice, go with me to verse 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me." Why? "Because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." Jesus says, they couldn't overpower me. They couldn't force me onto that cross. He says, I laid down my life for one reason. Look at it. "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He says, I love my sheep. Therefore, I lay down my life upon that cross. Oh, yes, beloved. Paul gloried in the cross of Christ because he saw the love of the Savior there. I'm so glad. But thirdly, speaking of Christ crucified. In the cross of Christ, Paul saw the glory of the forgiveness of sin by the atonement. Go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. I'm so glad that we have the atonement made on the cross. He gloried in that atonement because Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I need forgiveness. I need cleansing from sin. And only that blood atonement can do it. Amen. In Hebrews, look with me in chapter number 9, verse 24, we read, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true." He says the tabernacle on earth was a picture of the true one in heaven. "But into heaven itself, now, to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice, the atonement of himself. Amen? He says Jesus Christ's cross was a sacrifice for sin. It was an atonement made once for all, never to be repeated again. Paul gloried in the cross of Christ because he found the atonement there. Fourthly, Paul gloried in the cross of Christ because he saw the glory of hope, peace, and joy offered to the despairing soul in the cross. Look with me in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, look with me at verse 19. He saw the glory of hope, peace, and joy offered to the despairing soul. In Colossians 1, we read in verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the what? Blood of his cross, by him, Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, beloved, that were sometime alienated and enemies, we were enemies of God, in your mind, by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in his flesh, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Paul says, right there at the cross, I find love, I find hope, I find peace, and I find joy for the despairing soul. I'm so glad, folks, that we can point any sinner to the cross and say, right there, you can find peace. You can find real joy. You can be happy, amen, by coming to that cross. Glory to God. Fifthly, in the cross of Christ, Paul gloried in the cross of Christ because he saw the glory of God's way to divine transformation. The cross is God's way to divine transformation. Go with me to Romans chapter number 6. Look at this. In Romans chapter 6, just before 1 Corinthians, Romans chapter 6, Paul saw in the cross God's method to divine transformation. You can't turn over a new leaf. You have to have a new heart. Amen? Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 6. Paul writes, by the Holy Spirit here, knowing this, something you've got to know, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Look at that. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says a great transformation has taken place. You are now two things. You're dead to sin because Jesus says, I've taken them away by my cross. And now you're alive unto God. Something supernatural has taken place within. Amen? And Paul says, I'm going to glory in the cross because there is where I found divine transformation. There is where you find divine transformation. There is no secret plan. There is no college course credit that you can take. It's in the cross that man can be divinely transformed into the image of his dear Son. I'm so glad of that. But sixthly, in the cross of Christ, Paul gloried because he beheld the glory of Satan's defeat in the cross of Christ. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul viewed the cross as Satan's defeat. You know what, folks? Satan's too powerful for you and I. We could never beat that old split foot on our own. We don't have the strength. But I'll tell you someone who does. The Son of God. He's already defeated him for you. Glory to God. Look with me here in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2, I want to show you a most amazing passage. Watch what he says. In Colossians chapter 2 at verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh," Colossians were Gentiles, non-Jewish, "hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now notice the word his cross in the last part of verse 14. The context is the cross. And, speaking of the cross, and having spoiled, that Greek word, defeated. It means defeated, totally annihilated. Having spoiled principalities and powers. That's the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's the devil and his demons. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a show of them openly. What's that next word?
Triumphing
over them in it. Question, what is the it of verse 15? The cross of verse 14. Thank you, sister. The cross of verse 14 is the it of verse 15. That's where he defeated the devil. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I'm taping this message because I want everybody in the church to hear it. Amen. This is good stuff. The devil is a defeated foe, beloved. That means you and I can have daily victory over him because our Savior defeated him for us. Glory to God. Now, I want you to get the full impact of what Paul is saying here in verse 15. When he says having spoiled principalities and powers, in Old Testament times, when one nation would war with another nation, the conquering army would take what they call the spoil of war. This very word. It's the same word used for the spoil of war. They would take their cattle. They would take all of their gold and silver, their possessions, and they would march it back to their homeland and walk down Main Street. And amongst that spoil would be POWs. These are those who survived the battle on the enemy side. And what they would do is they would tie them up. And they would tie them together, and they would march them through the streets of their hometown to show that they totally conquered the enemy army, right? That was the spoil of war. Now, here's what I want you to see. When Jesus Christ got up on the third day, you know what he did in the spiritual realm? He had a rope, and on it was tied all the devil's demons, and he marched through the heavens with all the spoil of war. He says, I defeated them all. That's the spoil. Now, look at that verse again. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. You see that? In other words, the spirit realm, all of the holy angels, all of the saints in heaven saw this marching spoil of war that the Lord Jesus carried through the skies. He said, I defeated them all, boys. And won't you know there was a great cheer in the heavens when Jesus Christ defeated him. The first crucifixion I see that Paul gloried in is Christ crucified. But secondly, I want you to see the world crucified. Back in our text, Galatians chapter 6, notice the world crucified. Secondly, verse 14. Paul says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is what? Crucified. There's another crucifixion in verse 14, and that is the crucifixion of the world. Oh, I want you to get this, beloved. This is good stuff. Because as a result of glorying in the cross, Paul viewed the world and the evil thereof to be like a convicted felon executed upon a cross. It couldn't touch him. It couldn't hurt him. It couldn't allure him because it was executed on an old rugged cross. See the sentence passed. Go to John chapter 12. Notice the sentence passed upon this old world. I'm so glad that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen? This world is crucified to me and you because of the cross. The world is crucified unto me. Look in John chapter 12. I want you to see this sentence passed upon the world. Look at verse number 30. Chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice, the voice of God the Father, came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of what? See that? Jesus says, when I go to this cross, I am going to judge. I am going to pass sentence and execute this world. Watch what he says. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world, who's that? Satan. The devil. We know that. That's a small p, that's the devil. Capital P, that's the prince of peace. Amen. But now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Glory to God. He says, I'm taking back what's rightfully mine. I'm taking back the kingdoms of this world. And glory to God, he's going to rule and reign it for 1,000 years. Amen. He's going to do it right. He says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Jesus says, I am going to crucify, I am going to judge this world. And for every Christian believer today, for the last 2,000 years, folks, this world is crucified. I'm so glad that I don't live the way I used to live. I'm so glad that I'm not in the world the way I used to be in the world out there. Amen? Jesus delivered me from that world. You know what he had to do to deliver me? Crucify it. He had to crucify it. He says that world is dead. When you're crucified, you die. You're dead. If that world is dead to the Christian, it should have no influence whatsoever. Now, I am so glad that Jesus did it right. It's philosophical. Its philosophical teachings despised. Its allurement impotent. Its pleasures and treasures rejected. How is this possible? By the cross of Christ. By the cross of Christ. Go with me to James chapter 4. Look at this verse. Speaking of this world, this present world, Jesus said he died to deliver us from this present evil world. Amen? To deliver us. Glory to God. I'm so glad that he loved me enough to die for me so that I could be delivered from the evil of this world. No one else could have done that for me. Look with me in James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, look at this verse. Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? He's saying those who are friends with the world are the enemies of God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. See, I used to be a friend of the world out there. I used to march to the beat of their drum. But I am now the enemy of the world. And they could, like I was telling Val this morning about that fellow, I think he's demon-possessed guy at work there. And he just, you know, they just hate you. For you don't have to say anything. They just hate you because they know you belong to Jesus and you're not of this world. And he says, you're not a friend of the world anymore. Glory to God. I am so glad that the world is crucified unto me. Love not the world, John said in 1 John chapter 2. Neither the things that are in the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We've been delivered from the world. Well, how? It's been crucified. Thirdly, I see another crucifixion. See the believer crucified. We've seen Christ crucified. We've seen the world crucified. But now, notice the believer crucified. Back in Galatians chapter 6, look with me at verse 14 again. He says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul says, not only is the world crucified, not only is Jesus crucified, but I am crucified unto the world. Wow. Oh, this is getting good this morning. Here the believer is portrayed by the apostle as crucified to the world. You know what that means? That means he's dead. He or she is dead to the world. When you're crucified, you are dead. You are nailed to a cross and you have expired. Now, I guarantee you, if you go down to the local cemetery, the local morgue, I should say, and you go in there, there's a bunch of dead bodies, right? And if you try to take go one of those dead men and try to flash a Playboy magazine in front of that guy, I guarantee he won't have any effect on him whatsoever. I guarantee he won't look at the centerfold. He won't look at any of the dirty pictures, the pornography. Why? He's dead. Dead men can't sin. Amen? We got a van out there. Praise God. But listen, dead people cannot sin. And Paul says here in verse 14, I am crucified unto the world. Get out of town, devil. You can't tempt me. I'm dead to your allurements. I'm dead to the things of this world. I'm alive unto God. I'm alive unto God, but I'm dead to the things of this world. Now, let me give you this. Interesting. In Galatians chapter 5. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Flip back from Galatians to chapter 5. And look at verse 24. Speaking of this crucifixion. In verse 24, Paul says, and they that are Christ's have what?
Crucified.
There's that word again. Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. How? How have we done that? He did it for us, right? On that cross. Watch it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Paul says we are crucified. Our flesh is crucified. If we can understand what that means, the doctrine of identification, we will live a glorified life. Amen? And it's by, verse 25 gives you the secret. It's by the Spirit, capital S. The Holy Spirit in you enables you to walk in a new way, in a way to glorify God. Now, Paul says to this world out there, I'm dead. I'm crucified. And if you and I remain faithful to our blessed Lord Jesus, we can expect to be treated as only fit for a shameful death in the eyes of this world. Don't count on being one of the boys, Mark, and fitting in with the mainstream. You may be ridiculed, threatened, persecuted, your actions and motives misrepresented, despised as a madman, strange and weird, too old-fashioned, too serious, even puritanical. You'll be considered by the world as irreclaimable and therefore as good as dead to society. And that's exactly what we want. Amen. That's exactly what we want. My wife will tell you, because we were engaged at the time, when I got saved, I had these buddies, we call them my drinking buddies. We'd go out to the bars and, you know, go out there and party and do all this. And my wife will tell you, they dropped me like a hot potato the day I got saved. Not one of them ever called me again.
That's right.
Cal's laughing. He knows the feeling.
Yeah.
I would call them and say, hey, you got to come to church with me. You got to hear my pastor preach.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling very well. Every excuse in the book, my back hurts. Yeah.
Back.
Yeah. They didn't want to know Bob Oliver. Bob Oliver was now dead to them. I was considered a dead man. No, Bob, we can't be associated with you anymore. You're too religious now. You know? Oh, man. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn back from Galatians. You'll be in 2 Corinthians. Look at this in chapter 4. Incredible. I love it. We don't fit in with the world anymore. Why? We're crucified to it. We're crucified to it. We're dead to it. They look at you and they see a dead man, a dead woman. They say, I don't want to talk to a dead person. Right? That's how they see you. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I love this text. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's the treasure, folks? The Spirit of God. He's in us. Amen? Oh, we got something they don't know about. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power, you've got power. I want to encourage you this morning, church. You've got power. May be of God and not of us. Even though it's in us, it's not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, yet not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I wonder where that happened. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That why, Paul? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He says the reason that you've been crucified is so that a new life, the life of the Son of God, might be made manifest, made known through you. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. Here, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest, verse 11 says. Now, the more deeply we enter into glorying in the doctrine of the cross, as Paul did, the more dead we shall become to everything but Jesus our Lord. Paul, at the last period of his life, said, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ Jesus my Savior, and that he might continue on to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." That's the part that most Christians don't want to know about. Folks, there's some sufferings in the fellowship of the cross, amen? Because you don't fit in no more. They don't want to know you no more. They don't care about you no more. There's some suffering, some persecution, he said there in verse 11. Now, the wonders of the cross have been fixed. The admiration of the angels and produced in them a comparative indifference to every other objects. Did you know that the angels, the holy ones, the good guys, they glory in the cross? They marvel at the cross. In 1 Peter chapter 1, down around verse 11, it says the angels, the elect angels, desire to look into these things that have to do with the cross. They are fascinated by the cross. They're here in church this morning. The Bible says they love to hear the old story about the cross. Why? Because they're totally blown away by it. They say, "How could our Maker die for them?" Yeah. They can't figure it out. But they're like, "Wow! This is, we want to know more. How could he love those guys so much?" Oh, glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. "The Spirit of Christ testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ." The sufferings of Christ. Where did that happen? At the cross, right? "And which things the angels desire to look into." The context is the cross. And he says the angels desire to learn more about it. How incredible it is to know. In closing, let me give you this. We see Christ crucified. We see the world crucified. And we see the believer crucified. In 1913, George Bernard penned the words to this most famous of all hymns. Listen. "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown." Three crucifixions Paul gloried in. Christ crucified, the world crucified, I'm crucified. Let's be glorying in the cross, beloved, each and every day, because it's at the cross where you and I find strength and victory. Glory to God. It's in the cross where it all began the day you got saved. You came to a cross. You came to a cross. And we need to come every day to that same cross. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for this incredible passage. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am so thankful this morning, Holy Father, for the cross of your dear Son. I am so grateful, Holy Spirit, for the unveiling of that cross, the enlightenment that you shine into our understanding, that we might see and wonder and behold the glory of the Lord Jesus in his cross and all that he accomplished for us on that cross. Oh yes, the world despises it, like the song says. But we have a wondrous attraction to it, a wonderful beauty we see at that cross, Lord. How we thank you that this morning we as a church are reminded that our victory is in an old rugged cross. It'll never change. Oh, they're taking the cross out of the modern hymnals. They're taking the blood out. They're stripping out the Holy Spirit. They're taking out the Word of God, the Bible. But Lord, we are going to continue as until you come, Lord Jesus, by your grace. We are going to continue to stand upon the doctrine of the cross. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the victory we have. In your holy name we pray. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, folks, and stand. I think we need to sing a particular hymn this morning that has to do with the cross, indeed. Let's grab our hymnals. And we'll open up to hymn number 62. One of my favorites, 62. Glory to God, I tricked you, Val. Oh, glory. 62. Isaac Watts, Sir Isaac Watts. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Amen. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay that debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, glory to God for that cross. Brother Cal, dismiss us in prayer, would you?
Thank you, Lord.
Lord God, we're so thankful that we can come before you, and we have you to rely upon, Lord, that your word is always there for us, and we know that as you told us, your word will always be from beginning to end. It will never perish, no matter what man might do to it. Mm. It's there. We thank you for the cross, Lord, and like the angels in heaven, we can hardly bring to mind and understand why you would so graciously go to the cross for something like us and sacrifice your life for the likes of us, Lord. Mm-hmm. But beyond the great love that's in you, we certainly are thankful for that. We certainly know, Lord, that all there is only because you allow it. And we just pray, mm-hmm. Lord, that we can always be faithful to it and faithful to the cross and walk faithfully with you. We ask the Lord to walk with us as we leave here this morning. Mm-hmm. Give us the safety of travel as we go to our homes, and bring us back safely this evening, Lord. We pray you'd be with those who couldn't make it this morning, for whatever reason, be it illness or whatever, and help them, Lord, to overcome whatever it is that's keeping them from church and bring them out this evening. Mm-hmm. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Do we have to put the chairs back?
Yes. Yeah. Tonight, stage 7 of the second advent. That's going to be tremendous. La 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 la.